This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Road School Moms. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, full-time RVing mom to four road schoolers and co-founder over at Full Time Families, the resource for your family's answers to full-time RVing questions and much more. Tonight and every Sunday night, I'm blessed to be joined by my lovely co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, also a full-time RVing mama to four road schoolers and the creator of RoadTripTeacher.com, your resource for destination-based curriculum and educational resources for traveling homeschool families. And the Road School Moms team is coming to you live, both of us from different parts of South Florida this week, and we are so happy to join you from wherever in the world you are. Tonight, we're excited to be kicking off our very special four-part series on love, the theme for this month, in the month of February. Before we share our thoughts on tonight's topic, though, which is the love of God, we want you to be aware of some of the resources and events that we have going on in our community.
Yes, that's right, Mary Beth. This week, Full-Time Families hosted a webinar on RV inspections, answering the question, are they really worth it? And there was so much great information shared there. If you're in the market to purchase an RV, then I encourage you to catch the replay at fulltimefamilies.com. And I'm putting a link in the chat right now so you can catch it there. But if you're catching us on a replay of Road School Moms, that's okay. Simply enter the word RV inspections in the search box on the bottom left of the fulltimefamilies.com website, and it will bring you right to that replay and all the special offers we have associated with it.
Yep, I love that. And also, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Road Trip Teacher and the Road School 101 crew, as we are so excited to be rally-bound in just a few days for the rest of the Full-Time Families crew that are going to be meeting up in Central Florida for the Sweetheart Soiree, which is this year's FTF Winter Rally set at Lazy Days RV Resort. And we are, I know that I join several other dozens and dozens of families that are joining there. There's so many tons of rally activities to look forward to later on this week. Some of the kids are putting on a talent show. We have our Legoland field trip to look forward to later on in the week. The rally highlight is a sweetheart dance. And there's really just all kinds of family fun, crafts and activities for all ages, the littles, the middles, the tweens, the teens, and even the adults. Rumor has it there's a, I can't believe I'm even saying it, rumor has it that there is an adult Hungry Hippo game going to happen, so I can't wait to get video of that. I am not going to be volunteering as a participant, but I'm sure that it will be entertainment at its finest, so I can't wait for that.
Yes, there is. I have heard that rumor myself, and I'm excited to see if that unfolds or not. But I want to take a moment, Mary Beth, to thank you. Many weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, when my mother-in-law passed away, you picked up that rally ball and you ran with it. And so much of the rally success is because of you, your efforts, Katie's efforts, Jill's efforts, Sarah Schutz's efforts. I always don't like going through the names because I'm always afraid I'm going to forget someone. I really want to tell Bunny and Brooke and Claudine and Jill and Katie and Stephanie and Sarah and again you, Mary Beth, thank you so much for all you've done to make this a reality. And of course, Skip Shute has been behind the scenes creating all the graphics for the event. There's a lot of people that go into making this rally a reality, and I just can't express my gratitude enough. So thank you, Mary Beth.
Well, you're welcome, and I know I speak for everyone involved that it was easy to step up for you when you've stepped up for so many of us along the way. And really, it was just, we all enjoyed doing it, and it's something that, you've spent many years putting these things together, and so it was a pleasure to work with everyone and do that, and I can't wait. This week's going to be a whole lot of fun, and we'll have a whole lot to talk about this time next week.
Absolutely. Also, I want you Road School Moms to be marking your calendars, because in March, Road School Moms will be hosting our very first Bible study specifically on community. Dieta Goker is leading that up and is looking for co-facilitators. If this is something that resonates with you, then please reach out to Mary Beth or myself via email. You can reach me at Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com. You can reach MB at info@roadtripteacher.com. Also, while you're reaching out to us, please let us know if you're interested in being a prayer team leader, because we're currently looking for those also to specifically pray for our Road School Moms and have a prayer warrior team. So please reach out to us if that's something you're also interested in.
Yes, and over the last few weeks, Kimberly's talked a little bit about it, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about it tonight, and that's the fact that we are also so, so excited to tell you a little more this week about the opportunity for the Road School Moms to join forces over with the Cruise Chicks later this fall. If you haven't heard the news, I am posting the links right now in our chat. I'll be posting this in our Facebook group, and also, of course, there's a link over at roadschoolmoms.com if you're listening in on a podcast. And this is all about the 5-day, 4-night Bahamas cruise, where you can check all the details out about that event. But know this, this is an all-ladies cruise designed to refuel, recharge, and refresh your spirit. While aboard this Carnival cruise ship, we'll be leaving Port Canaveral. We're going to be docking twice in the Bahamas, and then we'll spend one entire day at sea. I can only imagine, Kimberly, how rejuvenating and uplifting this trip is going to be. So you'll want to be sure and mark your calendars for this Christian Women's Cruise Retreat coming this October. And if you want more details about it and you can't find those details in the links that we've provided, please do not hesitate to shoot Kimberly or I either one an email, and we'd be glad to answer any questions and tell you more about this exciting event on our calendar.
So, my gosh, you know how I've got it marked on my calendar. I've got it marked all over the house, and just it's all I've been really thinking about. I'm so excited about this cruise retreat and the opportunity to have fellowship with other moms, homeschool moms, Christian moms, just across. And it's not just moms. It's Christian women. So, specifically, I'm really excited because you and I, Mary Beth, will be hosting our edition of Road School Moms Live from the open sea. So on that Sunday night. So that will be really exciting to be able to share that experience with our Road School Moms and all those who feel called to be a part of it with us. All are welcome. Like I mentioned, you do not have to be a mom. I keep saying that mistakenly. I just use the word mom and woman interchangeably for some reason. It's been called my attention. So
that's funny.
You do not have to be a mom to come. You can. In fact, someone asked, "Can I bring my family?" And I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can bring your family. I'm not going to be bringing my family, not because I don't love them, but because I'm looking forward to retreating without them. So, on tonight's show, we are addressing love, and specifically love of God. In researching for tonight's show, we relied heavily on the works of Greg Simas. If you're not familiar with his teachings, then we encourage you to check out his website at gregsimas.org after the show. I'm going to kick it off. In Matthew 22, verses 34 through 37, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' time, asked Jesus, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And Jesus replies, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Let's look at that for a moment. I can recall a time in my life where I was told you need to love God first, and I was a young mom and a young wife, and I thought, well, I can't possibly love God more than I love my children, and I can't possibly love God more than I love my husband. That's just crazy. And, you know, at that point in my walk, I was not prepared and not educated on what it meant to love the Lord. And that's why when I was researching this show, Mary Beth and I were talking about it, I was really excited about it, because I figure there are other women in the same position that hear these words, you're supposed to love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and don't exactly know how to make that a reality in their lives. And don't exactly know what that looks like I did all those years ago. And since my walk with the Lord, I have learned what it means to love him with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. Although, you know, I'm still a work in progress, and I don't always do it 100%. I don't always do it 100% right. But I do understand right now what it means to love God with all your heart. And so moving forward in that direction. How about you, Mary Beth? What do you hear when it says love the Lord God with all your heart?
Well, you know, if you've listened to our Rogue School Mom show for very long, you know already that I come from a Pentecostal background. I've talked about that quite a bit over several shows. I've spent all my life loving the Lord with all my heart. For much of my life, it was because really that's just how it was. You know, I was brought up in the type of extended family where, you know, my grandparents were kind of at the helm of that. Most of us were part of the same church community in my extended family. And really, I just accepted religious teachings as the gospel, literally. You know, that was the gospel. That was the way it was. It wasn't that I didn't agree with it. I did agree with it, but it was just how I was brought up. That was just my way of life. So I gave my life to Jesus at a very early age. Really so early, in fact, sometimes that I think back and I think that I probably didn't realize at the time the magnitude of the decision that I was making. But, you know, my upbringing gave me the foundation to love to love wholly and completely, you know, God for the rest of my life. And in most of my life, that's how, you know, it's been for me. It really wasn't clear to me until later in my life, really just in this last few years, that I even understood that there was a difference between loving someone with all your heart and loving God with all your soul. You know, because when you really think of that, all your soul, what does that even mean? How can you love something or someone with all your heart, but not all your soul? And for me, that, you know, when I really stop to think about it, I just think that we love the Lord with all our soul by really living a life that is full of faithfulness to all that the Lord has required of us. And, you know, with that comes obedience. And I've talked a lot about that in the last few weeks because that's something that I'm really focusing on, you know, in my life is, you know, obedience to the Lord and what His real plan is for me and for my life and for my family. And while loving the Lord with all of our heart has to do with affection, loving the Lord with all your soul has to do with devotion, and that's where that obedience comes in. You know, it's a journey, it's a commitment, really, that's paved by obedience. The soul literally is the part of us that defines who we are, and the essence of the biblical definition for soul means life, personality, and the inner self of your identity. It's where we all make our decisions and choices that ultimately decide our lifestyle and our behavior. So for me, I kind of think of your soul as like the core you, right way down deep inside.
Yeah, absolutely. I love how you said that. Loving with your heart has to do with affection, and loving the Lord with your soul has to do with devotion. I love that, Mary Beth. To love the Lord with all your soul means to love Him in the way we live, in the choices we make, and the behavior and lifestyle we adopt. Here are three predominant ways to love God with all our soul. Number one is, love the Lord with all your soul by making godly choices. Our lives are the sum of the choices we make. No one knows that better than the people that make choices that go against the grain, like our road school moms do a great many of the time. Plain and simple, our choices show what we are committed to, and they reflect our core values, defining us and displaying our lifestyle before the world. What do we value? If we treasure our relationship with the Lord, our choices will simply mirror the treasure. Choices flow from what we treasure most. I have to take it aside and say that verse was brought to my attention on Friday night. What you treasure, there also will your heart be. And I have been dwelling on that all weekend long, and I was very excited when our show aligned with that verse, because our show tonight is obviously all about love and loving God first. So when I think of what you treasure, I hope that you're treasuring the Lord first. Ask yourself, how do I spend my money? What do I do with my time? What kinds of things do I read? What programs do I watch? What do I do for entertainment? Where do I go for relaxation? What things give comfort in difficult times? What kind of friends do I have? All of these result in choices that demonstrate whether we love God with all our soul.
That's a lot to think about. And I think that, you know, sometimes you equate, you know, riches and things like that in the depth of your love with, just like you said, you know, like, where do you spend your money, or what, you know, what do you do with your time? And sometimes I think it's good to just kind of take a step back and really kind of evaluate how you're living and what the purpose really is, where you're trying to go with that. And that kind of leads right into the second way predominantly that you, you know, can love God, and that is to love the Lord with all your soul by pursuing obedience to his word. In John 14:15, it says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. It's pretty simple. Love, you know, love must be demonstrated. When we keep his commandments, when we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, then we're tangibly expressing our love for the Lord. And that's why the second part of the first commandment is so vital, because sometimes we're really not going to feel like loving God, but we do it out of your love for God nonetheless. You know, it's the same way our kids, they may not get up every morning and feel all the love, but we know that they love us, you know, nonetheless, and it's the same way here. And in his kingdom, obedience usually comes first and feelings come second. And I think that is so important, and I really love that. If you really just think about it, in his kingdom, obedience usually comes first and the feelings come second.
That's true, and I can give you a brief example of questioning our love for God, and it's something that my husband went through when his mother died so suddenly. You know, he felt a rift with God. He felt possibly being punished by God. If God is so benevolent and all-powerful, why did he let his mother go? And that's where that obedience comes in, right? We cannot understand. We cannot even pretend to understand God's plan for us, but he does have a plan for us, and that's why we must remain obedient and faithful to him. And putting obedience first and our feelings second. That's so true. The number three point is love the Lord with all your soul by pursuing a life of humility in attitudes and speech. Embracing humility is the stage where we can express our love to the Lord. Jesus taught us how to love from a place of meekness, serving us until death. Meekness is power and privilege under control. It speaks of restraint and the use of power except to promote love. Meekness is not to be confused with weakness, which is the absence of strength, says Mike Bickle. This meekness is expressed most dynamically in our attitudes and speech. What we say and how we say it enhances or quenches our ability to love the Lord by the power of the Spirit. Wrong speech will ultimately affect our spiritual lives and work against our love for the Lord.
Well, now here's where I think it gets complicated, because the last part of what Jesus tells us is the first and most important commandment, which is we must love the Lord with all of our mind. And as you know, our minds are complicated, and we're built that way for a reason, you know, free will and all of that. But really, the renewed mind plays such a vital role in loving the Lord. The Lord said that if we are ever going to understand the kingdom, our minds need to be constantly renewed. That's talked about in the book of Matthew. And later in Romans, Paul states that a major part of being transformed into the image and the likeness of Jesus must require our minds to be renewed. So, you know, it's a big deal. And, you know, it talks a lot in the Bible about your mind. I never really realized that until Kimberly and I started researching the subject and really seeing, you know, how it all came together. So let's look at the mind. The language of your mind is really based on images. So often our mind is an ongoing movie screen that provides pictures and words and all these actions that are just endless from one thought to another. It's just a big process and just a big mismatch going on inside of our head. And so much of our life is lived in our minds, because we can never turn our minds off. We find ourselves constantly seeing images being played out for us and holding conversations in our mind. I know that I do that constantly. Sometimes I even have conversations in my mind with a person that I forget to have with them in real life. And sometimes, you know, it's just all at the same time. So, you know, the Lord created us this way for ceaseless communication with him. And I think that's really important to understand, that it's the continual reality and stream of our life. So when our body sleeps, our mind still continues to stay active. That's why we dream throughout the night and have all those thoughts. Even, you know, our mind really, really never shuts off. So to love God with all of our mind is really kind of a supernatural possibility, if you will. Through the mind, though the mind is never meant to rule the heart, which is probably a good thing, it can be used affectionately to love the Lord. So as we go along, our mind is renewed and rejuvenated, and the Holy Spirit kind of releases activity, even a supernatural activity, if you will, to love Jesus more and more with each passing day.
You know, Mary Beth, I love that you said renewed mind, a renewed mind. And, you know, even in my sometimes skeptical mind, I'm sitting here thinking, what's a renewed mind? But I want to offer this tidbit to Road School Moms. Mary Beth and I have done this show for almost 60 shows now, if not more. We've kind of lost count. And we've asked you to join us every Sunday night to renew and refresh your Road School, to reconnect with your community. So take this opportunity on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock to join us to renew your mind. And every morning, take the opportunity to renew your mind by taking your Bible aside and having your quiet time with the Lord. These are the foundations for setting yourself up for a really great day, and great days become great weeks, and great weeks become great years. So don't skip over the renewed mind part of this. Here are four unique ways to love the Lord with our minds. Number one is reason. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord." To reason is to think, understand, and form judgments by a process of logic. I believe that part of loving God with all our mind is loving Him logically. I enjoy strategic thinking in order. God has given me this gift. Reason should never trump revelation, though. The mind is the learner, not the leader. The leader is the heart. Many times, the heart receives from the Lord first, and the mind cannot make sense of it, at least initially. Eventually, the mind catches up with what the heart has received. This cannot be said any truer, and if you listen to our very first show in January, then you will hear that our minds do not at all know what is on our hearts from the Lord. And Mary Beth and I struggled through that very first show of the season because the Lord put on our hearts that we needed to change direction for Road School Moms and address certain spiritual aspects for our listeners. And that's all we knew. We had no idea how to do it. And I think that's most of what we say in that first January episode. We have no idea what we're doing right now. So is that not true, Mary Beth?
It is. It was kind of we have a roadmap, but we really don't know where we're going. And I don't know. It was definitely where our heart and mind were not in unison, but we knew that, you know, there was a greater power to be that knew exactly what plan we were on. We just didn't know it yet.
And with every week, it has become clearer and clearer for us. So when we prize reason over revelation, we have a God made in our own image and likeness. Faith in many ways goes beyond reason. It looks to the impossible and trusts in the all-knowing God. Excuse me one second. Yet reason is powerful. We can systematically and logically look at ways God has intersected our lives and give Him praise.
So the second of a unique way to love the Lord with your mind is through knowledge. And in Hebrews, it talks about the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. To love God with all of our mind involves really taking time to fill our mind with God's word and His perfect love and to rightly agree with who He is. And when we grow in the truth, daily, then we gain that knowledge. I mean, it's just kind of a layer in the foundation. And what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about that, about us. I read that earlier in the week from A.W. Tozer. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I like that. It really resonated with me this week. So when we come into agreement with God, it really awakens His love in us. And love in itself includes great depths of knowledge, like we talked about before, that it's, you know, something that's not just given. It's, you know, you gain that knowledge day by day. So that loving God is continually refueled. Again, there's that word, refueled and renewed when the mind encounters truth over and over and over. It's kind of just a learned behavior. So that knowing truth and loving God are really all deeply connected, I guess you would say, so that you just, you know that Jesus is truth. And that's what I talked about earlier when I was talking about kind of how I was brought up. You know, in the beginning, I knew Jesus was truth because that's what my heart said. And then later, I knew that Jesus is the truth because I believe that in my heart and soul. So as our mind grows in the knowledge of Jesus, then we're really liberated to love Him more and wholly and completely.
It's true. And, you know, I'm so, I feel so blessed, Mary Beth, that you and I have walked these two very different spiritual walks. I was raised Catholic, you know, I've got nothing against Catholics, but spiritually it doesn't resonate with me, the Catholic faith at this time in my life. And so I didn't have that depth of faith ever in my life that you were raised with. And when I hear you talk, I really hope that God's given me this time to raise my children in a way more similar to how you were raised, so that they don't question it as much. Because when you come to faith later on in your life, you know, the devil's got you and there's doubt everywhere. You're just, your heart's just riddled with doubt. So it's definitely a struggle. Number three is memory. Isaiah 63:7 says, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. The Bible is filled with commands to remember. Memories led to gratefulness and worship. When we use our minds to remember his kindness, faithfulness, patience, peace, etc., we build a foundation of faith, hope, and love. We are loving God with our remembrance. For some, we cannot forget the negative events of the past because the past has a voice. We must triumph over it with truth. Don't allow your past to freeze you, but rather lead you into depths of God's love. Our thinking about the past can affect us positively by remembering the truth about God's goodness towards us in forgiving, delivering, and providing for us. I also want to add right there that just because you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind does not mean bad things are not going to happen to you or your family. That's not what this is. There are promises that you will be rewarded for following the first commandment, but that doesn't mean you won't have struggles. And one of the things Mary Beth and I talked about early on this year is that struggles, I think you said, make you hard-boiled, Mary Beth. How did that go?
It did it. So I see it was that you can become hard-boiled or soft-boiled. How did I forget that already? I'll tell you why I think I've forgotten it, because after I said it, then I realized that maybe I didn't want to be hard-boiled after all. Because what does that really mean? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I really did have that conversation with myself. Was, gosh, you know, a sticky situation can make you hard-boiled, and maybe that's more of a bitterness. And you know, you at first you think, well, a hard shell is a good thing because it, you know, keeps you protected. But you know, sometimes that can also keep you, what's the word? It could keep you really separated.
Hardened
and separated from feeling what, you know, what really needs to be filled. Because let's face it, you've got to go through, you know, I mean, the trials that we're put through is for a reason, and that's because it builds strength and it brings, you know, it builds character. And for our kids, I think it's so important. And I, you know, I talk about this all the time, and you hear me say, you know, one of my big mantras is, you know, lead by example, lead by example. And so, you know, if our kids don't see that, you know, how we deal with those trials and how we trudge through them and, you know, what it takes to make a good person in a bad situation, then, you know, I just think that's one of our most important jobs, really, is to lead by example and show them the way.
I think you're right. And I think maybe what we all want to be is poached.
Okay. I'll take that.
Is that the hard with the soft inside?
I think you're right. It is poached, as long as you're not poached hard, I guess. I don't know. We could talk about this the rest of the night. It's starting to make me hungry for breakfast already.
Exactly. Number four is your imagination, which is obviously a very big part of your mind. Psalms 8:3 says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. Isaiah 55:8 says, my thoughts are completely different from yours, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine.
You know, when I was reading this, I was thinking, and this, you know, goes back to the way I was brought up, because I, you know, imagination really wasn't something that I ever brought into the way we believed, because, you know, when you start letting your imagination run wild, that's when you start questioning things. Why are things this way? Why are things that way? And, you know, God has given us the mind and the power to imagine. Some, you know, might call it dreaming big dreams, and some say that you get a picture of your future, while others might say that if you can see it, you can be it. You know, our imagination sees and create and thinks outside the box in whatever way, you know, that our mind works. So in our imagination, heaven's thoughts really come to us and are captured in our mind. And with our imagination, we actually can extend our knowledge that we have to explore all the possibilities that we have in God and really in all the other areas of our lives. And I think that's, you know, what makes it so spectacular, because then his love is really anchored in faith, and it comes full circle, and it all fits together just like a bunch of giant pieces in a puzzle. When we have the mind of Christ, you know, we have the mind of Christ, and, you know, let's love him with it. You know, it's something that he brings to us. And so, and now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And that's talked about in Philippians. What is wrong with me that I can't say that? I never can say that. Even when, and I don't know, you probably didn't do this, but we always had to memorize the verses or the books of the Bible. You know, first the New Testament and then the Old Testament. And I never could say Philippians right. It always took me. It always messed me up.
But it is a hard one.
No surprise there. It is a hard one. And, you know, that book of the Bible for me is always so deep. And I guess that's why we're talking about it here in this part about our imagination, because that really is the deep part of our mind. But when I read specifically that book a lot, I always have to really, I mean, I feel like I need a translator sometime. What does this really mean?
Absolutely. So now that we all understand a bit about what is expected of us when we're loving God and putting him first in our heart, soul, and mind, how can we model this for our children? After all, we are Road School moms, and teaching this commandment to our children as part of our Road School should be the number one priority. So Mary Beth, the Road Trip teacher, has compiled a list of resources that can help you teach your children how to put God first in their lives forever.
Well, and what I just kind of tried to do this week, I mean, I really could have sat down and wrote 3 pages of links that you could, you know, that you could really, you know, get as deep as you want. But I, you know, I tried to really think about how we've evolved in our Road School over the past few years for our family, as far as the way in which we study Scripture. When we were in our hometown, you know, our weekly routine was really based around our home church and the activities that were related to that church body, along with the teachings and devotions that were part of our daily family traditions, you know, like praying before meals or, you know, reading scripture together for certain occasions or whatever, you know, but it really all was based around our home church. And for us, you know, when we got out on the road, it was really hard for me to try to, you know, to find a home base for that. And so now, especially when I'm trying to serve the ages of my kids, which are 7 to 14, you know, so it's one extreme to the other, I have to be really diligent in my search for resources to be sure that each one of my kiddos is receiving the tools that I want them to have and the layers that I think they need to build, you know, this foundation that I keep talking about. Because I want them to have their own foundation for their own beliefs, so that they really know Jesus and how to be obedient and follow his word. And I want that to come from their core and from their soul. You know, and I really want them to come to this on their own foundation, not just the one that I've built for them. So having said that, we are, as you know, we're a really big fan of copy work. I more than my kids, but that's okay. They're learning to love it. So we spend a lot of time in different occasions to use scripture for copy work, and I love this this approach. And one of the recent ones that I found from my joy-filled life was Word in My Heart Scriptures. And there's a whole series of copy work, and it was a free download, actually. I'm posting that on the chat. And again, if you're listening in on a podcast, this is all available over at Road School Moms. We're posting these links in our upload tonight. And there's
Mary
also,
Beth, I'll post
you know,
them while you talk about them.
Okay,
so they're all there.
Sounds good. Thank you. And then, you know, sometimes copy work isn't for everybody, even in our rig. And, you know, this is a lot, you know, true a lot of times for my boys. Sometimes they'll do the copy work and not say anything. Sometimes it resonates for them and they like it. And, you know, it helps them to learn, you know, learn a certain verse or, you know, if we're trying to talk about a certain, you know, subject like we are right now. But I always do try to keep an alternative to that copy work because I don't want them to get lost in the process. I found that sometimes printables for scripture verses can be just as easily memorized or, you know, they can be read. Sometimes I think it's just good that we, you know, that we read them every so often. So I used this one from the Happy Home Fairy that we're Kimberly's going to post right now also. And it actually counted down the days to Valentine's Day, so there were 14 of them that you could use from the beginning of the month. But I thought they were great connections to love and you know, his love and the way that, you know, love is talked about in the Bible. It was a great verse. A lot of them, you know, there were several Psalms. There were a couple Proverbs, so we'll post them there for you as well. Another part of our road school recently has centered on prayer, and Kimberly and I have talked about this a lot over the past 2 weeks. While my kids have always had the natural ability really to pray, it's really been, you know, timely, like before meals or, you know, giving thanks or, you know, other routine prayers. And I think it's really important for them to rely on their prayers in all parts of their lives and not just, you know, at meals or before bedtime. So not long ago, our family started our own prayer journals. And I found a tutorial over at ourfamilyforhisglory.com. It was a great tutorial. She includes pictures and some really thoughts for you to make your own prayer books for your kids. And so we're posting that link as well. I love these because really when I done it really for my younger kids, and the older boy, my older boys immediately were like, well, where's our, you know, didn't you, you know, give us supplies for ours? And so I really let them have the autonomy to feel their own connections and really kind of sprout their own rings in this area. And they've all, you know, really enjoyed these. And it's something that's kind of an ongoing project for this year. It's something that I thought would be short-lived, but it's something that they've all kind of held on to. So I love these little prayer books. So check those out. Our family really has used different devotionals in the past. A few of those that I want to mention here. I mean, you can go on Amazon. You can, you know, Google, you know, kids devotions or family devotionals or whatever, and find a whole list of, you know, devotional books or journals that, you know, all have 5 stars and have, you know, testimony about it. But these are the ones that I wanted to specifically meant that our family has had specific knowledge of. There's a great one available on Amazon called I Am, and it's 40 Reasons to Trust God. And it's really just, you know, very straightforward, and, you know, it's just a good read aloud, really, if you want to know the truth. Another one that my favorite, God's Little Princess Devotional Bible. It's really kind of a storybook. It's written by Sheila Walsh, which is one of my favorite faves that I got to see in a couple of Women of Faith conferences that I went to. This book I actually bought for my younger daughter at the time. I think she was 5, and she really couldn't read yet. But my older daughter had just started reading, and I was amazed, and I still am. They still read this book. We've had this in our house for 3 years, and they read this from cover to cover. They've always got one of these. It's something that they do at bedtime. I absolutely love that for girls. For my boys, Triple Dog Dare. It was a devotional. First of all, I love the title. That was exactly what got both of my boys in, you know, intrigued about it, was the title and the cover. It's really dynamic for boys, and it's one that my boys have used in the past, and really they still go back to it. It's in both of their cubbies, and it's still one of my favorites, so we'll post a link to that as well. I don't know, Kimberly, if you've ever heard of Jesus Calling. It's a pretty well-known devotional. There's a Jesus Calling for adults. There's one for different, you know, areas. There's a Jesus Calling for kids. It's a 365-day devotional, and for us it was a great way for our whole family really to kind of stay on the same page. So if mom or dad has their own version of Jesus Calling, it's a great way to read aloud, you know, over breakfast or whatever time of the day is good for your family. For us, this devotional really led to real life scenarios that we could always talk about and apply it to. And I always kept this at the time. We kept it in our rig, and we really talked about it while we were driving. And speaking of read-alouds, I often refer back to this awesome resource that I actually found really several months ago. And it was over at a website called Classical Christian Homeschooling. It was a support loop that I found. And it's called 1,000 Good Books. The 1,000 Good Books list is actually what it's called. And it's, oh my goodness, it's so thorough. It's divided by age groups. It has all types of books. There's poetry and picture books and, you know, chapter books and just all, you know, all different kinds of books for all different ages. It's just a really very thorough list developed by 25 homeschool moms that's based on different criteria that they all thought was important. And it's all presented in one place. So we'll be sure to post that link because that is a very thorough and complete resource. So, you know, for me, installing in your kiddos the Word of God and a love for Jesus, to me, is the most important thing that I'll ever do. So it's not really one way, but just for us, it's an entire smorgasbord of ways to, you know, keep all the kernels of His Word that I can incorporate along an everyday routine to show them the power of His love. And the best way to teach your child to serve really is to be a servant. And again, just like I said before, to lead by example and show him or her the way so that really, you know, in real life, he will be trained up in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I think that is so important. So if you've missed any of these links, I know I went through them really, really quickly, and I have the tendency to ramble on because when I believe strongly in something, you know, I want to make sure I get my point across. But this will be available in a post from Road Trip Teacher posted later this week, along with a short video that's also the first of another four-part series that Kimberly and I are working on called This Is How We Road School. And that's where Kimberly and I are both going to share just a little tidbits here and there from how we show you exactly what's going on in our road school that works for us and our families, at least in this season of our lives.
Well, I love all these resources that you shared, and I love that they're going to be available on Road Trip Teacher for those listening in on the replay, or, you know, or those that don't have pen and paper tonight to be able to write it down, because I know this is a wealth of information, but a lot of information at the same time. I do want to share that Sarah James, Road School Mom Sarah James, who was going to be at the rally with us, has shared with me a resource that I have fallen in love with just this week called Seeds of Change, Seeds of Courage. They're Bible verses set to music so that it's really easy for your children to memorize the Bible verses. And if you get one of their albums or DVDs or electronic medium, for every one that you buy, they will give you the code for a gift to be sent to someone of the same album. So really cool thing. I think it's called Seeds of Change. I'm sorry, I'm not in the house because I'm home alone tonight, which is wonderful, but the dogs insisted that they needed to go out. So now I am walking the dogs in the midst of the radio show. The life of a road school mom.
Well, you know, we do say come to us from wherever in the world you are. So
that's right. Well, right now I'm outside
walking
the
dog.
Camper.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
I know. Well, I want to thank you for joining us in this, the first of our four-point series of love, on love. Meredith and I pray that these words help draw you closer to the Lord. We hope that you find your salvation in Jesus and learn how to surrender your heart, soul, and mind to Him so that He may do great things with you and in you. Next week, we'll be addressing love of family, and we hope you'll make yourself a priority and give yourself this 1 hour every Sunday night to recharge, re-energize, and renew and reconnect with your community. We hope you have an awe-inspiring, amazing week, and join us again next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday night, from wherever in the world you are, even if you're out walking the dog.
That's right, Katie. And if you're listening to us tonight on a replay over at iTunes, please do take a minute to give us a review. Of course, Kimberly, I love 5 stars, but if it's less than 5 stars, that's okay too. Just be sure to shoot us an email, either one of us, and please let us know what we can do better to serve your family over at Road School Moms, because that's really what this is all about. So when you've completed your iTunes review, message me at info@roadtripteacher.com, and I will be glad to send you a free digital product of your choice from our learning shop over at Road Trip Teacher. Just like Kimberly said, be sure to come back and join us next week for part two of our series on love as we continue this journey. We will be together next week, Kimberly, at the very same location, so we'll be so excited. We'll be post-rally by that point, completely worn out, but full of all kinds of fun stories that we'll be able to share with you. So be sure and come back and join us next Sunday night. We can't wait to join you at the same time and same place, just like KT said, Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, safe travels and God bless.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.